Wasn't that a great session? June did an awesome job. Thank you, June. And so we have our next session called Birds of a Feather. And Lucena Ortiz Kringle was born in Medellin, Colombia. Lucena graduated with a degree in education. In 2010, she came to the United States to teach Spanish to kindergartners and met her beloved David. They were married in Colombia in 2011. David returned to the United States, but Lucena had to stay for another year till all of her immigration paperwork was complete. In 2014, they moved to Chesapeake, and in December, they welcomed their first child, Josiah David. Lucena is a stay-at-home mom who enjoys speaking Spanish, walking, reading, and traveling. Please welcome Lucena Kringle.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good? Okay, that's good. When I was, one of the days that I was praying for the conference, I had this thought, this word, remix. And I thought, maybe the conference can be a good place and a good time for restoration, renovation, revival, reconnection, a time to re-encounter God. Amen? We can take the opportunity to do that, a time for remaking things, a time to be rescued of some things that we don't need, maybe. So I've prayed for that, for all of those things to come alive today. Amen? Okay, so what I'm going to do is just to share a couple of experiences that I've lived these last 2 years. And because my life has been transformed radically these last 2 years, and God has done many things in my life, and I want to share that with you and what I learned from that, what God told me through those things. Amen. So I have called the first testimony, or the, the first experience, the email in a cage. And it might seem meaningless, but my purpose is that you relate with something that you have gone through. Amen? So, since I was a teacher in Colombia, I thought that when I came to the United States, it would be good for me to try to find a job as a Spanish teacher. So I applied for a job as a Spanish teacher in a middle school in another state in July 2013. And I thought the interview had gone well. But a couple of weeks later, I received an email from one of the members, the staff members, and it read as this: July 22nd, 2013. Ms. Ortiz, which is my maiden name, you did very well in the interview. My advice is for you to slow down and articulate what you are going to say. Maybe reading books in English out loud to tone down your accent a little will help. Your accent is very strong, and that could be a deterrent for some people. Keep applying, because sooner or later you will find where you belong. Best wishes for you, and then she signs. While I was reading each word of this email, believe me, I was broken. I fall apart, because I what's going on? I thought I was doing good. I think I was good. And Literally, I was weeping. As I shared with somebody one time that when I was reading it, I felt like if I was reading a really, really bad news, almost like if somebody had died, something close to me had died. And I said, what happened? How can this be possible? And then I was so disappointed, not only because I hadn't got the job, but because I felt that I wasn't good enough, even when I thought I was. And because somebody had thought and said something that I considered wasn't good to me, and that it was unfair. So I had a lot of thoughts in my mind. I said, this is unfair. That lady doesn't know me. That lady doesn't know what she's talking about. And all these thoughts. And then I was telling that experience to some people, and I was expecting to receive approval and for them to tell me, oh, no, that lady is wrong. She doesn't know, but you are right. I was expecting that. And I wanted to receive approval from people. And then I started practicing what the lady recommended me, and I was reading aloud, but it didn't work. And the accent was still the same. And then I made a decision, and I said, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. I'm just not going to talk with anybody. That's what I'm going to do. And everything will be better, and I will not bother anybody with my accent. That's what I'm going to do. And for sure, that was what I did. And I isolated myself during a whole year. I was attending a church with my husband in the state where we lived, but I came to the church Sundays morning, come, receive, and then go back. I wouldn't talk with anybody, barely with my husband's family, which, I mean, they are English native speakers, so I tried to talk with them, but with anybody else. And I thought, oh, but after all, I mean, I don't have any friends there, so I'm fine. I don't have to talk with anybody. So nobody gets annoyed with my speaking. And I was so hurt because I thought, how annoying I am when I speak in English that this lady didn't want to hear me. She was annoyed in the interview. So that was for a year until I moved to Virginia and I came to Harvest Church. And everything changed. But what I didn't realize during that whole year was that I had got caught in the trap of offense. So the problem was not the words that I heard about me. That's not even a problem. But the problem was how I reacted to those words. Now, I don't think that it was a bad offense like maybe some of you have gone through, but it was the reaction that I took and how I held that inside me during a whole year, just thinking about that, about those words that I have heard. So what I learned about that situation was that I put myself in a cage. Just take a look of those cages that you guys have around you. And what we don't realize sometimes is that it's ourselves who put ourselves inside a cage. And I learned what Proverbs 19:11 says, it is the one's glory to overlook an offense. Because Jesus already took all the offenses. Amen. For us. And then I learned, or I remembered, when King David said in Psalm 32:3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. And that's what happened to me during that whole year. I kept silent, and you can imagine what the enemy did on me during that whole year, because unfortunately, I opened a door for him to do whatever he wanted because of that attitude or that response that I had taken because of this. When I realized that I was full of pride by keeping staying silent, and when I realized what were the purposes and the plans that God has for me, that right then was when God set me free of the trap of offense, which is a huge thing for us. That's a lie of the enemy when we think that we have the right to be offended. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to receive offenses, that people are going to offend us. But what matters is how we react as Christians and as women. And also, regarding to the plans that God has for me, I remembered the book of Esther. Because she also stayed in a cage for a long time. She was in a context, like a cage, where there was a competition. These ladies or these girls have to compete for a whole year to be the most beautiful, to be accepted by the king of Persia. Do you remember that? And then Esther had to be silent. She had to hide her identity as a Jewess, because she couldn't tell anybody or everybody was a Jewish. And when I thought about this, and when the Bible says that when her turn came to go to the king, she didn't do anything different than the person that was in charge of her suggested her to do. She didn't do anything different. She just went there before the king. So that made me think that I don't have to do anything. I don't have to compete anywhere with anybody to be accepted, because God already accepted me and he loved me. He loves me, and his favor walks with me, and his grace has been poured out on me, and that makes everything works out in my life. So that's what we need. Amen? Amen. Okay. Talking about Esther, I love a word that you can find in the word of Esther, and that I have found very, that I have grabbed for me, and it's Esther 4:14. It's when Mordecai said these words. He said, "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. And that's a word that I have taken for me during the last months. Who knows? But that you have come to this position in life for such a time like this. And this is a word for you too, today. Amen? All right. So before moving forward, I have a trivia for you. I have a little contest for you. This is a question. Okay? All right. Let me see. Who can tell me a woman in the Bible that was afraid to die if she stepped out to speak out? Who was that woman in the Bible? You can raise your hand because I have something here for you, for the winner. Okay, who? I mean, it's Elizabeth.
Esther.
Guess what? The answer is correct. This is for you. It's a bookmark. Okay.
Thank you.
And I have another very easy question. Who can tell me a bird that can soar and it has 5 letters? Which one?
Eagle.
Eagle. That's right. Oh my goodness, this is very easy. This is for you. It's an eagle. Okay, so I have to confess something. When Miss Joy told me about the conference and the theme of the conference, it was soar. I didn't know what the meaning of the word was. And I had to ask my husband, what is soar? What is the meaning of soar? So he explained to me, and then I looked at the dictionary. And then I wanted to know many things about soaring, okay? And I was watching some videos about soaring, and I have another question for you. I have a pin. It's an eagle. I have a pin. Who can tell me why birds are able to soar? Vicky.
They lack the pinions.
They what?
They lack the pinions, the joint right there. So they keep the wings up and they go over the wind updrafts and lifts them up over it.
Oh, that's the key. That's the key. I was watching a video of an eagle that was soaring, and there is a time when the eagle has a momentaneous free fall, and then the updraft lifts him up. So I thought, this is so prophetic to me, because I thought, so that's why we need to come to Jesus like a free fall, and then the Holy Spirit lifts us up. And I thought about that for this conference, that we should take the advantage of the Holy Spirit in His wind and His water today, and the ministry team for something that I'm sure that He has for you today. Amen? Amen. So this is the pin for you, Vic. Okay, so my second experience is, I have called it the hidden seed. And when I think about birds of a feather, I think about someone as a victim. But how about when it happens the opposite case? When we are the rejecters of a situation or of God's will or the word of God. And that was what happened to me. Last year, at the beginning of last year, we were still in North Carolina, and my husband and I were praying, looking for a house in North Carolina. So one day, I had a list, an agenda to pray for that house. And I had planned, okay, I'm going to pray for the windows, how I want the windows, how I want the kitchen, how I want the living room, and all of that. And I started praying. And then suddenly, the Holy Spirit stopped my prayer. And I started weeping and weeping. And I was laid on the floor, and what's going on? And in that moment, I experienced what Romans 8:26 says. And I experienced the fulfillment of that verse when it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. That was what happened to me right there. Because the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, no. That's not the prayer that I need. And then I couldn't even talk anymore. I was there, like, so broken inside. And then the prayer was changed. And I started praying like this. God, You know me so well. You know all the prayers that I have prayed during all these years, all the letters that I have written to You during the last 10 years, and You have answered them all. All my prayers, You have answered them. I have asked You for this and this and this, but and You have given those things to me. But You know, God, that in none of those prayers, in none of those letters, I have asked You for having children, having a family. And I wasn't, right there, I wasn't able, as I told you, to talk because I was weeping. It was horrible. As Roman says, with wordless groans. And I said, but God, today I pray that if You want to give us a house, that house will be a safe place for our children to play and live. In my mind, I never planned to have children. So this changed when I met David. But when I was 14 years old, my mom passed away, and I am the oldest of a brother and a sister, and I had to raise my brother and my sister. So when I was a teenager, like 17 years old, I promised myself, I do not want to have children. Because if this is like having children, I don't want. But I was very serious about that. And that became a foundation for my life since I was 17. And I'm 36 old, almost. So it's been almost 20 years with that mindset. And what I did was surrounded myself with people, with friends that had the same mindset. And all of us would say the same thing. Oh, no. We don't need children. We don't want, this world is so crooked. This world is so cruel that we don't have to have children. We don't want to. And that became a stronghold in my life. So that's why it was so hard for me to do that prayer that day. But God did something that day. And that same week, That same week, I went to church, and we had a women's class, and we watched a conference, a video conference, that talks about life being interrupted by God. And I remember I cried the whole video conference, and I didn't know why. What is going on? What happens? What is going on? And I got home, and I was still so restless, and I didn't know why. And the next day, I was praying, and I said, okay, God, tell me, please, what is going on? What happens to me? And then, again, this deep crying came to me, and I heard the voice of God telling me, very clear, I heard this. You have given me many things, but you haven't given to me your womb. Your womb. And I said, what? How can this be possible? I've been a Christian for 18 years. I have surrendered everything to you already. So how, I am yours. How can this be possible, my womb? And he said, yes, your womb. And again, I was laid on the floor. I couldn't talk, barely breathe. And I said, okay, God, you win. I cannot resist you. I am yours. And my womb is yours too. Do whatever you want with it. And then I thought about this verse in Proverbs 6:2. You have been trapped by the words that you have said. You have been snared. It's snared by the words of your mouth. All those years, I said, no. I denied all those years to open my womb to that. And definitely, I can prove that this proverb is true. Every time that we state something, that we do, that we make it as a foundation, as a part of our life, we can be trapped by those words. And believe me, it's very, very, very hard to get rid of those beliefs. And I also learned that probably one of the most difficult prayers to pray is like the one that Mary prayed in Luke 1:38, when she said, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's a beautiful verse, but it is very hard to pray because you are opening the doors to God to do his will. And sometimes his will, I have to recognize it's hard to accept. It's a blessing, but sometimes it's hard to accept. So what I learned after this, of going through this, is that God does amazing things. Because after that prayer, and when God told me that, I talked with my husband, and I said, you know, this is going on. This is what happens to me. So what we should do? And he said, he told me these words. Okay, so we can make some decisions, but we need to know that if God wants to give us children, he will do it in a year, in 2 years, or 5 years. If he doesn't want to give us children, he just will not. But we need to know that God is sovereign. And since then, I mean, since that date, 10 months later, I gave birth to a precious baby. And I'm crazy in love with this baby, Josiah. Man. So I don't feel proud of what I used to think during all those years. But my purpose today to tell you is that when I focus on myself, probably that is the strongest cage that we can be in. Because the place where freedom starts in God is when I come to the cross and surrender everything. And that surrendering is not only what is easy for us, but the things that are most difficult that we have had inside us so deeply and so strong for who knows how long. But that's my point, and that's the biggest lesson that God has been teaching me. Focus on myself is the biggest cage, but freedom comes when I come to the cross of Christ and surrender everything. Amen? Amen. I'm going to take 2 more minutes and share something else with you. And I don't feel proud of that either. But a couple of months ago, I also had another experience. I've heard always that giving birth is a very emotional experience, but it was also a spiritual experience for me. And when I was at the hospital, there was a time or a point that I called the darkest place in the universe, because at some point I started walking through the darkest and most horrible place that I've ever walked. And it was when I started feeling angry with God. And I would ask him, God, I mean, why this is going on? Why I'm in such a big pain? My goodness, I know that this is, as I told you before, it can be meaningless, but God did something else with me. And I started feeling this anger against God, and I couldn't believe it. And I say, how is this possible? A Christian feeling angry with God? Why? But all this dark place was surrounding me, and I would say, God, you are unfair. The love that you talk in the Bible is not true. And again, I don't feel proud of this, but I said, I hate you, God. And I didn't know why I was feeling like that. It was so, so horrible. And then I started thinking about people that you always hear saying, No. I don't have anything to do with God. God is unfair. God did this to me. That's why I don't have to do anything with him. And I thought, that's why there are too many people that are apart from God, and they have a reason to hate God. Maybe they have lost somebody, they have lost a job, they have lost everything. I don't know, and they have been walking for this dark valley for months and years, just being apart from God. And then all of this went away. I mean, the situation that I was going through right then, but my feeling of anger was still there. And then at some point I had to ask my husband, and I said, you know what, I cannot live like this one more minute. I just feel so far from God, and I can't walk like this anymore. I can't breathe like this anymore. And when he was ready to pray for me, and then I prayed in my mind and I said, God, please, I need to feel your love again. Please hug me again, because I can't. And forgive me for this feeling that I have. I prayed that in my mind, and then David started praying for me and ministering me. And I literally felt the love of God and that hug and that those kind words and his gentleness and his love again. And I said, my goodness, that was only 3 days that I walked through this dark valley. But I wonder how many people have walked through similar places for weeks, months, and years, just feeling something against God. And as I said before, birds of a feather not only means that we are a victim, but sometimes we are the ones that want to be part of a group of people that consider that they have the right to think or to do something against God or about God. Amen. And then I thought about this Psalm 84:10. When the psalmist said, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So that was what I wanted to share with you today. And my prayer, or our ministry time, will be basically that if we have been holding something against someone, if we are being offended that God set us free of that, because he already paid the price to set us free of any kind of offense, any kind of transgression, our prayer today will be that if you have been holding something for some time, that you open the doors, if you want, for God to set you free. The second thing is that if we feel today that we haven't surrendered something to God, that probably today will be a good time to do it. Those things that we just cannot, as humans, that we just cannot give away or give up, but God can do. And if we don't know something that we might have hidden, as my hidden seed, that God reveals that today to us. Amen. And the third thing is, if any of you have felt kind of apart or far apart from God, today is the day to return to his love, to his arms. Amen. And before we start praying, I want to speak a word for you guys. It's kind of like a prophesied word for you, and it's Isaiah 35. Amen. So I want to declare this chapter for you today and for this week for you guys. And I will start my ministry time with this, with Isaiah 35. So if you want, you can read it or you can close your eyes. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I declare today in your name, Jesus, that the desert and the parched land will be glad, and the wilderness will rejoice and blossom in all of you daughters today. Let these ladies rejoice greatly and shout for joy in your name, Jesus. Let them see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of you, God, in your name. Let the feeble hands be strengthened, and let the knees that give away be steady. Steady? I speak these words to you, my dear ladies. If you have a fearful heart, God says, be strong and do not fear, because God will come. Let the eyes of the blind be opened today. Spiritual blindness be opened today. And the ears that are deaf be unstopped today in the name of Jesus. Let the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy in the name of Jesus. I declare, and God, I pray that you, God, your water, Holy Spirit, will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I speak those words to you, and I declare that the waters of the Holy Spirit will gush forth in your wilderness, and the streams will come out in the desert. Let the burning sand become a pool in the lives of these daughters of you, God, and let the thirsty ground bubbling springs in the name of Jesus. And let those who the Lord has rescued return to your heart, God. And let the everlasting joy crown your heads, and the gladness and joy overtake your daughters today, God. And let the sorrow and the sighing flee away in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we will continue praying. And as I said before, please take the advantage of that wind, that updraft, and just let's be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do today, and take the advantage of the ministry team. They are beautiful women, godly women that can help you with something. So if you want to close your eyes, we're going to pray while we listen to this song. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, because we don't know, but you do know that we have come for such a time like this. You have made us, God. You have made us, and you only know what is very deep inside us. You only, God, know what we need to be set free. I declare the word that Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I declare that the truth of your word, the truth of your scriptures are so alive today that can set us free of any stronghold, of any cage that we have been living in. Because your will in God is that we soar in your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you open our hearts today. And if we need to surrender something to you, God, show us. Show us, because we need that freedom today. If there is any unforgiveness, please set us free of that today. If we have thought that we are not good enough for something, for being a good mother, for being a good wife, for having a good marriage, for being a single, just please let us know that you have accepted us just as we are, and that you have great plans for us in your love. Help us to forgive today if we need to. Holy Spirit, I pray that your water comes and flow this place, Holy Spirit. Flow the hearts of all of us today. In your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. Let your water flow. Let the water that purifies, let the water that cleans flow over this place and over the heart of all of us, my Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, show us and reveal to us if we need to surrender something to you, because I know you have great plans for us, those plans that we don't even imagine that you have. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, my Jesus. I pray in your name, Jesus, that the joy will be a crown for these ladies today. In your name, Jesus, let the joy come to your daughters. In your name, Jesus. Let the freedom come in your holy, by your Holy Spirit, to these ladies today. In your name, Jesus. Let the dry land to become a fruitful land. And let that dry land become a pool of joy in your Holy Spirit, in your presence, God. In your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. Continue working, God. Continue working in these beautiful ladies that you have brought today. My Jesus, continue working in your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. I pray this verse for some of you might need it. It's Deuteronomy 23:5. The Lord your God will not listen to Balaam, which are the curses, but turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. Amen. So let's continue praying. And again, if you want to be ministered, please take the advantage of that. today. Amen. Amen.